have some knowledge of it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really, I mean, I just, you know, I certainly know that people who are in my area have plenty to do as it is. I don't know about the rest of the state, but I know in my area they have plenty to do. Well, can you get me an answer as to whether you're talking one FTE or two FTE? You know, between one and two, I mean, that's, give me an answer on that. Not right this minute, but soon, okay?
We'll be happy to. What is reflected in the governor's budget, I would like to stress, though, is probably at this stage, given kind of the time that has taken place since the budget was submitted, and now is that that does not put as much emphasis on site discovery as I feel that we're going to need to be able to do during the next biennium, and we would no doubt be shifting additional resource into that area above and beyond what's even in budget, in the governor's recommended budget.
I just want to, as you know, this is a fairly major concern to me from our prior meetings, and I think we're going to need to get a pretty clear indication of what your intentions are in your proposals to Ways and Means, because I think this committee has a very significant interest in that issue.
We will do that, Mr. Chairman. Let me again stress, though, that my expectation is that when we are before you in 2 years from now, that we will be able to tell you with confidence that what we have as the universe of possible sites is exhaustive. That's not to say that there aren't going to be the exceptional site that gets added here and there, but that we really expect to be able to have a handle on that universe.
Okay. I applaud that goal. I want to see how you're going to get there.
Quickly to finish off the bill, Section 23, which is on page 47, establishes an advisory committee. It is an advisory committee, statutorily required advisory committee, to the development of rules for the implementation of the program.
Okay.
Section 24 deals with the fact that any actions taken under the agreements that we reach to be able to have cleanup shall be published in papers of general circulation and so on, so that people have a chance to be able to comment upon those. Sections 26 through 29 are effectively dealing with if, in fact, Senate Bill 115 is enacted, that we don't duplicate, that without knowing which bills are going to get enacted, although we trust all of them will be, we have similar sections in each bill. And then Section 30 is the...
Let me slow you down. What are you amending? Tell me what Section 25 does.
Okay.
It just deletes for taking corrective action, which is a...
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, we're just taking out the corrective action in existing statute.
That's basically what you call a conflict amendment or something.
Yes.
Basically, you're putting it in this... The corrective action is in this bill, not that bill.
Yes.
Okay.
It's addressed in both and doing things, making sure it's taken care of.
Okay.
Okay, and then Section 30 is the emergency clause.
Well, these are all conflict with 115, huh?
Yes. These are all trying to be able to address those parallel issues.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. A bit tedious, obviously very, very significant bill, and I thought it was important to be able to have you have a feel for those issues.
You bet.
This is the basic bill which all parties came together and agreed to. What you do still have are two issues that are outstanding. Let me stress, it isn't as if there are amendments to this bill in the sense that they can either be accepted or rejected, but rather that the issue needs to be addressed. Since there was a conflict, it wasn't put into the bill. So one way or another, the issue needs to be put back into the bill, one of two approaches that you'll have before you.
Okay.
And with that, I don't know if you want to hear from other people, or do you want to go to that amendment?
I'd love for you to do, before you even talk about that amendment, I'd very briefly like you to, in conceptual terms rather than walking through the bill, tell me, just walk me through the process that this bill creates.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yep.
All right.
Basically, the bill sets out and says, first off, you're going to have some rules to be able to determine how you're going to implement it, what cleanup standards are, and how, in fact, you're going to choose what remedial action. You finally find a site you want to clean up, how are you going to go about doing it? Then it says, okay, the department, you're going to go out and be able to order people to go ahead and take cleanup action. Now, what will happen is that the department will order that individual to take the action. They can either say, okay, we'll clean up because we think we're responsible and everything marches forward. You go into the court and everything gets taken care of, certified at the end, and everything's clean. They decide, second option, they decide, boy, they don't want to fight this, but they don't think they're that responsible. They can take the action by coming back and saying, okay, what they're going to do is sue the department or request reimbursement from the department to be able to get back dollars they don't feel they should appropriately have spent. Or they may have decided with the department that since there are some parties that are unclear who they are, where they are, can you get them as responsible parties, that they can in fact spend that money and get reimbursed by the department.
So it's either from the fund or other responsible parties?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, they always reserve the right to be able to sue one another.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, so that goes back, you know, that kind of, among the various parties. Next, the state decides that there isn't going to be any action taken. And the state then has the funds, the actual dollars, to go in and clean up. Obviously, that's going to be done by contractor.
I mean, the state, decides or determines that whoever they've identified as the responsible party, or if there's an orphan site, there's no responsible party, or they're bankrupt or whatever, the state can then move forward on their own.
Right.
Okay.
Now, it's not just orphan sites. It's also unresponsive, potentially responsible parties.
Okay, I understand.
So
yeah,
we go
one way
in,
or the other,
clean it up, and in fact can assess not just the costs to be reimbursed that we've expended, but under special circumstances, punitive costs up to 3 times, again, to be able to get the agreements reached. Now, this process for, hopefully, that is, when we've got willing parties on both sides, the way to be able to keep that from getting litigated is that there's an agreement that's reached between the parties, between the state and the party or parties. It gets taken into court and blessed, and then it marches along towards final cleanup. To be able to make sure that the couple of issues are addressed that are particularly important are both covenants not to sue and de minimis settlements. Covenants not to sue basically say to people, we can enter into and grant a covenant not to sue if, in fact, there are issues that are going to impede the cleanup if we don't do that. We are required to be able to give that covenant not to sue if we're requiring off-site removal. And again, the whole bias of the federal program, and certainly our bias also, is you're better off not just to move this waste around. All you do is create more problems in new places. That's number one. Number two is that we want permanent solutions. If there's a permanent solution, we do a covenant not to sue. Same process, we can do covenants not to sue for people that are very minor players. Take them out of the process. And either they pay some amount or maybe none because they just don't have any role to play. You take them out. Then what you do is, then the question is, okay, you've done that. What happens if something goes wrong down the road? Well, what you do is you have what are called reopeners on that settlement. The reopeners must be there to, if there's some unknown condition. We didn't look for pollutant X at the time because nobody was really very worried about it. And we find out that pollutant X is pretty serious down the road. It gets automatically reopened. We can also put any other kind of conditions into that same, those final settlements that will reopen it as time goes on if there's a problem. Okay, so that's processed through. Most of these are going to be cleaned up by contractors. They're the contractors, the releases from liability there. Again, for non-negligent activity, possibly negligent only if there's no insurance around. Again, what you're trying to do is trying to make sure that you don't just get stymied because of the lack of liability insurance to be able to get some of these cleanups moving ahead. Parallels very, very closely the federal program, except for in some of those liability issues. That is, those people who are strictly liable and those people who aren't. The federal program would really cast the net very broadly and say anybody who touched a site is liable. We have narrowed that. And that's probably the most significant piece difference between this and the federal program.
Okay.
Lots of protections not to get sued, not to be able to get into the litigation side. And the reason is that if we order and it doesn't move ahead, we go in and clean up. and then they're liable for the cleanup costs.
It seems
an effective tool to be able to get cleanups and get responsible parties. Mm-hmm. And I think all the players have generally come together on the bill.
Okay. Now, there are two issues outstanding. How do we want to deal with them? We want to let someone else present them, or what do you want to do?
It may be best to let Osberg, who is, okay, in fact, the provider of those, and then what we have, that is the department, have an alternative to those two amendments,
okay,
that we think accomplish the same end, but in a very different way.
Tom and Sarah. Thank you. Identify yourselves for the record.
Certainly,
and then
Mr.
proceed.
Chair, members, my name is Tom Novick. I'm the Osberg Executive Director, and with me is Sarah Lauman, Osberg's staff attorney. And before we get to the amendments, very quickly, I do want to say it's a pleasure to come before you with a bill with 97% consensus as opposed to 58 pages that nobody either had agreed on or sat down and went through the process, I think, which is come up with a bill that protects health and safety of Oregonians, as well as a program that's workable and that's acceptable and not an undue hardship on business. There are two outstanding issues which we weren't able to come to consensus on, and we'd like to lay those out for you. The first one deals with something that Mr. Hansen spoke about, which is a comprehensive program to identify new hazardous waste sites. We've had the opportunity over the last year and a half to 2 years to review a variety of programs throughout the country that have been established to clean up hazardous waste dumps, as well as the federal program. And one of the stumbling blocks that appears to have been a mistake in a variety of states is that when they first started out the program, they didn't go out and aggressively try and find out whether there were additional sites beyond the ones that they already knew. In several states, they ended up coming back 2 years later and saying, whoops, we should have started the program by finding the universe of sites and then using that to set priorities for investigation and cleanup. We believe that there needs to be wording in the statute, and we proposed an amendment which directs the DEQ to implement and develop a program to do this. We're glad to hear that the DEQ intends to do it. Our reading of the current budget submitted by the governor is that the money that Mr. Goodman spoke about is for preliminary assessment and not for additional site discovery. We think it's pretty important that there's something in statute that lays out that they will implement a program. I'd like to point out that we think our amendment's fairly reasonable. We looked at other states, for example, Massachusetts, where their approach is a little bit different. They say the DEQE, which is their state regulatory agency, will go out and identify 200 sites by this date, an additional 100 by this date, and so on. The federal government has done something similar.
Senator Cohen.
I'm interested, how many have they cleaned up in the process of identifying?
They are just in the beginnings of their program, so they haven't done much cleanup at this point, Senator Cohen.
Thank you.
We didn't think that, based on the past record of our Department of Environmental Quality, that we needed something quite that restrictive, but once again feel it's important in statute that as a first step in the program, they go out and identify additional sites, and have proposed the language that you have in front of you, which we think allows them to decide how to develop that program, but also gives them legislative direction to do that. Would you like me to continue with the second?
Or? So that is the amendment that you proposed, called Site Discovery from Osberg.
Exactly.
Right.
And basically, that amendment is pretty general and pretty broad. It says the department will carry out a site discovery process and have to notify the media about it. What else? What is the subsection 3?
Mr. Chair, subsection 3 directs the department to do something which they say they're going to do, which is to take a look at those industries that in the past have been the source of problems. When you look at the list of 200, for example, that currently exist, there are clearly identifiable industries which have created a majority of those problems. This just directs it that as part of them, part of developing the program, they will, at a minimum, look at those industries and their past practices.
Okay. Go ahead to the next one.
Okay, the Second Amendment deals with the issue of preliminary assessments of sites once they're discovered. Essentially, a prompt response to reports of suspected sites. Our concern is that in a variety of places, once again looking at their programs, they've put together lists that have just been lists and not done anything for a number of years. And as an impetus to ensure that prompt action happens, we would like to see an amendment that requires the DEQ to promptly respond to a report of a site, essentially to do a desktop file search and go out and look at the site. We're not talking about remedial action or further investigation, but essentially within 6 months of a report, looking at the site and deciding whether in fact it merits further action, drilling of wells, or whether or not upon a site visit it doesn't require further action. And once again, to ensure that as sites go on the list, that they're promptly looked at to decide whether or not we need to, as part of the overall program, continue action. Should add, it's our intention that this be for sites that are discovered beyond the 200 that are currently on the list. The 200 that are currently on the list, the DEQ already has a deadline from the federal EPA of, I believe, sometime next year that they have to do preliminary assessments of those. So our intention is to say that sites beyond that original 200, 206, I believe.
The language doesn't say that right now, does it? Right now, it doesn't say that.
Right. So it would be our intention to have it say that.
But do you, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Cohen.
I have a number of constituents who have grave concerns about a lot of things, and probably you would have, if you advertised in Clackamas County, you'd have 50 sites being reported. And I guess my concern is response in within 6 months. If you have 50 sites being reported, you have to investigate each citizen complaint, whether it be, you know, somebody's dumping garbage off the cliff down the road and you think there's something in there. I mean, it's still just a problem. I know how concerned people are out there and how they come. I worry that if you're going to advertise a lot, you're going to have almost as many sites being proposed as you have individuals who are concerned about toxic waste. I don't know. There's no provision for. I mean, you certainly wouldn't
filter.
You certainly couldn't not investigate each and every one under this.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, it's our understanding and. We tried to word the amendment in such a fashion that every report that comes in not be investigated, for example, by the remedial action section. Currently, when our understanding is when the DEQ receives that type of complaint, they do a preliminary investigation. If somebody calls up and says, for example, they think something is leaking into a local river or whatever, it's our understanding that the DEQ would investigate that.
Well, I understand that, but I'm also very much aware that if you start to publicize, if people voted for something that their taxpayer, that people knew that there was some money being funded for that kind of cleanup, I think you'd have a whole different explosion of people coming forward with suggestions. I'm concerned about that part right now. Anyway, go ahead.
Those are essentially the two amendments that we're proposing. Once again, we've looked at variety of other states that put much stricter timelines, much stricter performance standards. Based on the performance of our DEQ, we don't believe that those are needed, yet we also think that statutory direction in these two areas are important parts of the bill from our perspective, as we've studied programs and where they haven't worked and where they have, and would hope that the committee would support those.
Senator Cohen.
The other, what has been the funding levels of the other states? I guess, have you given us some, do we have that information, something that you've given us as a base that's sort of buried in the huge amount of paper we got? I'm interested in how many states are, what level of funding and their ability to, quotes and quotes, respond, and under your definition of what's worked. Because I'd be interested in finding how much have actually gone to clean up on a lot of these.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, that's actually an issue that we've attempted to continue to raise throughout this whole process. The amount of money being allocated for our our state Superfund program. And the experience of every state that we've looked at is that they've created a fund. For example, New York's first fund was in the area of $10 million and have come back within a year or two once they've realized the scope of their problem and enlarged it. New York, for example, just New York voters recently approved a $1.2 billion bond to begin cleanup there. New Jersey voters just approved a $200 million fund to clean up there. Most of them have started in the range of $10 to $20 million and quickly realized that they have not been able to do even the minimal program that was laid out in their bill originally. It's one of the reasons that we have been trying to encourage legislators and others to look at a more long-term funding mechanism, because in our opinion, the current funding in the bill, we agree with it, we support it because we think it's important to get the program up and running. We think that there's nobody in this room, including representatives from the DEQ, industry, or the environmental community, that would say that that's an adequate amount to even begin to do the job.
Right. And you and I agree, and we've had long meetings on this subject, and that's why SJR 24 was introduced originally, to try to find a broad-based funding source. And I actually, through the meetings, become convinced that what we need to do, and why I was asking a number of questions of Mr. Hansen, what we need to do is identify, do the site discovery, and do the preliminary site assessment so that we have some idea about what the universe is out there. I think in 2 years, we better have a pretty clear idea what the picture is out there, and then we are going to have to face what it's going to cost. I don't want to predict what it's going to cost. I'd love to say it would only cost $5 million, but I'm not optimistic enough to believe that. And if we go through this site assessment and site discovery, we will discover that we have a fairly major problem, and it's going to have to be addressed with a broader based funding than a fee on dumping at Arlington. But I think we have to develop our data, which is, I think, my concern right now. We've got to make sure we develop our data this in the next 2 years. So I'm not sure about the specific wording in your amendments, but I have real interest in making sure that the legislature, sends a pretty clear signal that we think site discovery and site assessment are critical to this program right now, because we're just trying to map it out. Now you want to come up. You have an amendment to their amendments or something.
Although I'd say, Mr. Chair, the fact that we're down to this few amendments out of a 57-page bill.
I'd say it's wonderful. Yeah. I love being able to deal with these kind of issues. I would like to say I really commend all of you for the... I hate to think what the overtime bill is for your department right now. But Osberg doesn't get overtime.
We don't pay overtime.
That's my point.
Actually, most of our people, they were volunteers.
Let's not talk to the personnel department about that, Mr. Hansen.
They have done an incredible amount of work.
So. Yes, they have.
Chairman, what you have before you is draft language that we would insert, addressing the same issue, by the way, but in a different fashion, and it would address it, by the way, on page 7 of the bill, and it would be an insertion after... at line between line 14, after line 14 of the bill on page 7.
Where is it again? Line what and what?
Line 14. It would be
what
I
have. Inserted right there.
Capital C, D, E, and then a new subsection 3. So that's where it would.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right.
Yeah. First off, I'll just walk through what the amendment does, and then come back to the specifics. It basically indicates that we shall identify through various review of industrial and commercial activities all potential sites where past practices have occurred that ought to be looked at. That's part of the purpose of the bill, purpose of the program. Secondly, that we will expeditiously evaluate within available resources the sites, determine if contamination has occurred, and so on. Again, the site assessment piece of that. Third, we will work with responsible parties to achieve voluntary investigations and cleanups and aggressively pursue uncooperative responsible parties to conduct and pay for investigations and cleanups. and then a new subsection 3 that says, we shall report to you, to the legislative body, by January 15th of each odd-numbered year, the years in which you are in session, of how we have in fact accomplished not only that which is on this page, but the other two items, that is to protect public health and welfare. Now, you got to be kind of thinking, hold it. You know, you're saying the same thing that Osberg is. What's the big deal? Why is there even disagreement on this one issue left? But I think that that's what's significant is that you have, I think, maybe really three issues that are there. First off is that if there were lots of resources, sufficient resources, I think we'd all say, do it all. It doesn't make a difference to be able to commit a certain portion of resource to one activity because you have enough to be able to devote it to that activity and still do the other important activities, assessments of actual cleanups, of working with potential responsible parties and getting everything moving. But that's not the case. We are limited in dollars. Number two is that whatever we do today, we know that there will be new facts, new situations that come up during the next biennium that we can't anticipate. If you lock it into statute, our fear is that we'll then be required to be able to do certain things that in the best of all worlds, we'd all agree, aren't necessarily the highest of priorities, but we're obligated to be able to do. And third, I think it's a question of oversight. In terms of whether or not we're carrying out legislative intent, there are going to be, I'm sure, interim committees, whether it be another hazardous interim committee. The way I think it ought to operate is that you tell us, as I've outlined here in the policy statement, to say, here's what you ought to be doing, and boy, we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to hold you accountable not just next biennium when you come in to visit us, but each month or every couple of months when the interim committee meets, we're going to ask you, how have you been living up to this? And we'll tell you what we're doing, and you can either agree or disagree. But it doesn't lock then into statute that within 6 months we have to do certain kinds of assessments, or that we have to be able to do a certain kind of site discovery when that may or may not make the best sense. And that's the difference, whether or not you really want to lock some of those things into statute.
Well, I think the question is, and it's really raised very clearly in sub D, expeditiously evaluate within available resources. And I think that's the question. That's, I think, the issue that we're all struggling with. I mean, you're correct, if this was a perfect world, we'd do all of it. But I guess what I have not yet gotten a sense of is what, I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that in order to do site discovery and preliminary assessment, we're talking about that much. I mean, we're talking about money, but we're not talking about that much money. How much money are we talking about? Can anybody say?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it certainly is going to be, again, depending upon the type of information that's brought forward. If we have a metal plating operation, those clearly are ones that we're going to want to spend some time with. No question at all about that. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to get ourselves locked into that if we get a complaint of, I think Senator Cohen used it, you know, indiscriminate dumping of garbage. Does that require us to do something more than we might do otherwise to be able to meet the requirements of the law? It's that type of concern that we have that will get locked in. I think all of us, not only here at the table, but along with the industry that have been working on this, want to be able to move through and find out what that universe of sites are and to march as quickly as we can through as many site assessments as we can, not just the preliminary site assessment, in the next biennium as possible. And at the same time, I don't think any of us want to tie our hands to say if there are major other activities that come up that we ought to be addressing, that we've got to balance those and balance those within the resources. So that's, I think, what the issue is.
Well, but I get, yeah, that's my concern. You're right, but that's my concern. I mean, we already know that United Chrome is out there, and we already have some clue as to what that's going to cost, and we know how much money we've got. So if we get one other site like that, we're not going to do any site assessment. I mean, that's my concern, is that we're going to be right back where we are today 2 years from now. You see, I mean, it's, I guess what I really believe is that we need to make sure there's enough money in there to do the site discovery and the site assessment separate from the cleanup, because it's just nuts to go on like this.
Chairman, if we had $10 to $12 million in there, I think we wouldn't have nearly as much concern the next biennium. That, I think that's where the issue comes down. Again, by the way, United Chrome is one of those special circumstances. It's $2.5 million to clean up, only 10% of which will be funded by the state.
Thank you. Okay. I mean, I can keep
but,
you
but I understand that that's yeah. the example of, and but that's a part of the problem. We don't know whether there'll be more that will go up in the national priority list. We don't know where the responsible parties are going to be and how much they're going to do. And that's why we can't give you a very
hard. What do we have? We have $6 million with the increase in the Arlington fee. We have about $6 million, five something.
Five.
Okay. Yeah. Now if. I guess what I would ask from you.
$2 million to find a garbage.
Well, that's okay. That was a rather major public process.
How many did you do? How many landfill sites did you start out with?
141.
So 141 sites, and took $2 million to evaluate.
Two and a half.
You're talking about certainly things that are almost as complex. If you get reports,
I guess what I would like to see is a budget estimate, and I think Fred, you've got to come up with it. A budget estimate on, if this was a perfect world, on what it would cost to do an adequate site discovery and site assessment program in the next 2 years that would get us to the goal that you described. I really think we need that because, you know, Senator Cohen's absolutely correct. I don't know what we're talking about in terms of money, but I really think we need to get a handle on it because I...